Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Diamond Insights with me, your host, Naleli Star. This week you're in for a treat because it's my 31st birthday. Drum roll for me. Bum, 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 bum. Happy birthday to me. So on this week's episode, I want to share 31 lessons that I kind of feel like I have learned over the last years that I have been alive. So stay tuned and enjoy. So birthdays are such a huge deal for me. I think ever since I was young, I love birthdays. I love my birthday, to be very specific. I think in my 20s, I don't think I quite got to celebrate my birthday like a lot. I always knew that it's a big deal to me, but I think one of the mistakes that I made was I left the celebrating, the planning of the celebration, to somebody else. And so I think the majority of the times I was just disappointed or whatever. So here's the thing about turning 30. So last year I turned the big 3-0. Yo, you guys, I just wasn't prepared. Like, nobody really prepares you for, you know, clicking that 3-0. But here's what happened to me. So I'm going to just take it back a notch. So here's 2019. And I am about to turn 30. And I look around me and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be getting into my 30s. I've already told you I love to plan stuff. I'm looking at my plans and I'm like, okay, tick, 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 cross, 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 cross. Okay, so it's a balance. I've won and I've learned. I don't want to say lose. I've learned. So, this episode is about those lessons. Turning 31, I feel great. Oh, I feel great. So, in my 20s, I hustled a lot. Like, if you know anything about me, is that I hustled. Like, my 20s were just for touch and go. I think of something that I can sell, I'm selling it. I don't care to who, I'll find you and I'll sell it to you. In my 30s, I think that hustler has taken a backside. And really, it's horrible. I'm trying to get her to the front set. She just won't come. In my 30s, I think it's more of the career-oriented chick that's taking the front set. So I'm all about building my professional profile, getting my mindset right, getting my money right, getting my, you know, my douche, everything together, is what my 30s, I think so far, which is just like 12 months ago. I'm not that old. So the last 12 months have been about that. And I think I'm enjoying my 30s. But I won't lie, I'm looking forward to my 40s. For whatever reasons. Maybe because 40, like, starts at 40 or whatever. So anyway, without further ado, let me start with the lesson. So what we're going to do is, I'm going to have to cut this into two parts. Because if I do all the 31 lessons in just one episode, it's going to be like an as long video. Sorry, audio. And I don't want to do that. So I'm going to go 1 to 15 this week. And next week, I'm going to go 16 to 31. So here goes to number one. Every decision counts. I think this is something that I was very aloof about. I just kind of thought like my decisions would, you know, stand individually, like they would not be interlinked, so that I could make a decision in my social life that's not going to affect my education or that's not going to affect my work life. But that was not the case, and I can actually give an example of when I decided to do my diploma. I just never I never chose that. Somebody else chose that for me. And so after I finished my diploma in project management, everybody was just kind of like, okay, this is not even an actual course. You could have done like social work or whatever. This is like a complementary course. And I was so shocked because I actually thought like people need project managers, which I am right now, a project manager. But the funny thing is, I didn't get this position based on my diploma, of course. But yeah, I was so shocked. Like, okay, so that decision actually mattered. So what I did is I went ahead and did my BA, which is in adult education. Again, you guys, I don't know what I was thinking, but whatever. I got in. I did the damn course. And here we are. So I think the only decision that I actually made intentionally and thinking through it when it came to my education is my master's degree. I really put thought into that. I kind of felt like, okay, how can I mix up what I'm doing? So I actually love being in the education sector. And you know, I got to figure out the adult education and whatnot. You should hear my boss talk about me being an adult educator. It's so cool. He makes it seem like, oh gosh, it's such I was about to say relevant course, but yes, it is a relevant course. But anyway, you don't understand that you've done adult education. It's a mixture of this and that and that and this. So you kind of feel like you're neither here nor there, kind of course. But yes, whatever. Whoever was structuring that, like, yeah, kudos to you. You get to waste our time. So it's an irrelevant. Well, it's irrelevant. Crap, why do you keep on saying irrelevant? It's irrelevant course. I just feel like perhaps adult education was kind of the wrong theme for the whole program. They could have chosen something else. It kind of feels like, anyway, whatever. I guess they'll do better next time. I already got it on my papers, adult education. So yeah, kudos. But yes, so every decision counts. Another one that I think I can give an example of is when I went to do my master's. Yes. So I just jumped into, you know what, let me do my master's. I only had enough money for like one semester. I had savings, and a friend of mine was going to school, and I felt bored, really, let's face it. So I looked through the programs, I thought through it, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna go to school, and I'm gonna do this course. I had no understanding of what that really meant. Like, okay, so it meant that I would actually be getting home late. I would have to be very much intentional about my relationship with my daughter. Then I just had one child, so I'd actually have to be very intentional about that relationship. And she was quite small. She needed mommy and stuff. So yeah, it was that stage. Also, I didn't understand the strain that it was going to put on my finances. Because at some point I actually just felt like, you know what, let me just drop out. If it wasn't for my former boss, she was like, I'm not letting you drop out. I'm gonna loan you the money and you're gonna pay me however you manage to pay me, but you're not dropping out. But yeah, so it you guys, every decision counts. It doesn't even matter whether it's a small decision or it's a big decision. Of course, the color of my cake is not gonna impact the rest of my day. But if it's a decision that actually affects your everyday, so for example, you deciding to wake up early could have an impact on your day. You deciding to wake up late could have an effect on, you know, how your day goes. So we're constantly making decisions, and I think my advice is be conscious, especially when you're making those decisions, whether they're big or they're small. Be conscious, be present with yourself. Don't make unconscious decisions. I think we like that sometimes. We like to throw in those subtle decisions where we're kind of making the decisions, but we're not very serious about those decisions. So, you know, we're just making them so they can get out of the way. they're gonna bite you. They're gonna bite you in the near future, in the far future. They're gonna bite you. They're gonna bite you real hard. But yes, so that's lesson number one. Lesson number two, action trumps strategy. But isn't an excuse not to plan. I like this. So anytime, I think we're having a discussion with one of my colleagues, and this is how I literally just phrased it. You know, strategy is good, it's perfect, but, and I think we're talking about politics. Yes, I remember. We're talking about politics. Because in Zambia, we have perfectly done documents. I mean, I'm not even in government, but if you see the documentation that I come up with, yo, I pat myself on the back. Now imagine those, you know, exposed scholars. I mean, they literally take trips to Russia and India and whatnot to come up with those documents. We have good quality policies, good quality strategies. They're very few. Let me not say I've not. They're not. They're very few documents that have been devised by the public sector that are not well done. Like, in terms of documentation, we're doing good. It's the action. And that's why, for me, action trumps good strategy. Like, any day, no matter how good your strategy is, if you cannot implement it, it's poop. Literally, you just wasted your time, you wasted your brains, you wasted your life. Good strategy is nothing without action. So always make sure that you are planning to act. If you have something in mind that you want to do, do it. I think, like, for myself, it's a plus, yo. I'm not blowing my own trumpet, but even if I were. So my best friend recently told me something. I'll show you a picture that I recently took, like, last week. And then we're just having a chat about it. And I shared a picture from 2 years ago. And she was just telling me, oh, wow, you've lost a lot of weight. You know, and I was just telling her, my challenge and whatnot, but thanks. And she was like, this is one thing I really admire about you. When you put your mind to something, you really get it done. My colleague, one of my colleagues actually also complimented me on that. The fact that when I plan on doing something, I actually do it. It's very rare, unless something is just not that important to me. But it's very rare that I put my mind to something and I don't accomplish it. I'm like that. So I always have a strategy, but I always have the zeal, the will to actually implement. So I just don't talk the talk. I walk the walk. That's the kind of person that I am. If ever I'm talking about doing something and I don't do it, then it's just not that important to me. Like, seriously, it's not. Or in most times, there's already an alternative that I'm pursuing that makes the other option kind of, you know, distracted to what I'm already doing right now. But I always believe in action. Action is better than strategy. However, just because action is better than perfect strategy, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't plan. Because you can waste a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of resources, you know, trying to get something done that you could have done, like, so quickly had you just taken the time to, like, plan. I'm always doing that. Even just with my house chores, I just never get started on house chores. I always take a moment to kind of think, okay, so if I'm cleaning the kitchen and I also have laundry to do and I have some cooking to do, I'm gonna be multitasking some of those things. So what I'll do probably is just soak the clothes, put something on the brazier. Normally I like to use the brazier if I'm doing some cleaning around or whatever. So if it's beans or it's beef or it's whatever it is, so I'm getting started on it. So much that even just the way that I do my work is coordinated, but also saves me time and energy, and I get the perfect result still at the end of the day. So number three is, every decision you make is a post-dated check. Be sure your future can cash it. I like this. So I think it's a bit tied to one. I think I'm going to give an example of of my diet, because I think this is where this came from. I think when I was reading something on, you know, developing a healthy lifestyle and whatnot. So every decision you make, it's like you're writing post-dated check to yourself. So make sure that your future self can actually handle it. If, for example, today I eat the whole lot of my cake, what does that mean for future me in terms of health? You know, if I spend the rest of the year eating junk, what will it mean for the lady who's going to be on the 31st of December trying to get into 2021? Am I going to be feeling good? Or is weight loss still going to be a part of, you know, of my journey? Am I going to be feeling, you know, comfortable? Am I going to be feeling depressed about the way that I look? So every decision that we make, whether we are being conscious about it, whether we are being, you know, passive about it, unconscious about it, it's going to be affecting you. So you are the primary person who's going to get affected by that, either by the people that you've made the decision for coming back to cry for you, or it's going to impact you, or it's going to do something. So be sure that your future self can actually cash that check, can actually deal with the implications of the decisions that you're making right now. One of the things that I smiled about last year as I was turning 30, getting away from my 20s, is I was so grateful to my 20 whatever self, you know, from 20 to 29. Yo, that girl, she made boss moves. I feel so proud of my younger self. Like, I keep on benefiting from the decisions that I made. Like, of course, there are decisions that, you know, I just threw up here and there, and they're biting me. Don't worry, I have some of those in my closet. But majority of the things regarding my life, my kids, my finances, in terms of even just independence and financial security, I'm not where I really want to be. But boy, I'm not where I used to be. I could say at least I'm somewhere 50, 60, you know, juggling, still trotting the treadmill. But I am so proud of the decisions that she made. I'm benefiting, constantly benefiting. For example, I always tell people, I got this job because of my master's degree. They were looking for somebody who's done BA in... I got this job because of the combination of the qualifications that I have, if I'm being honest. And my boss keeps telling me this. Like, they were looking for somebody with project management who has a background in education, but has also some business, you know, business experience. Boohoo, that is me. I have a diploma in project management. I have a BA in adult education, and I did do some extensive community work, and the work that I'm doing right now is partly community work. Plus, I have an MBA. So that was her. Not that you earned me. That was her. Her. And I'm so proud of her. So yes. So future me here, I'm able to cash in on those decisions. So the fourth one is, by all means, read about everything and anything that interests you. When I was in my teenage days, is that correct? Okay. So when I was a teenager, I read a lot of novels, you guys. Oh gosh, I enjoyed reading those novels. I was happy reading those novels. So I read a lot. And then I went into, I think when I got into uni, when I was doing my BA, I think I just stopped reading. I think maybe because of the academic block or whatever. So the only thing I would read is whatever it is that I was doing an assignment about, and even if then, I was just browsing through, like, where can I find, you know, citations? I need to quote somebody kind of reading. So it wasn't the reading out of interest. But I think maybe like two years back, I started developing an interest in reading all over again. So I started reading. I'd read about anything and everything. What I would actually do is, because we use communal transport at work, so we all packed up in one car and, you know, heading the same direction or whatever, I would actually just Google something and read an article on it, on self-care, on neocolonialism, or, you know, just anything, or even just politics, just staying up to date, being informed, you know, just reading other people's opinions. It opens up your mind. It makes you question your knowledge, you know, like, what you know, is it good enough? If you need to learn, if you need to upgrade, just keeping up with trends, keeping up with, you know, thought leaders and whatnot. That is important. Just read anything, read novels if you must, you know. I think I got into a habit at some point of trying, like, why would I alter, you know, like, why would an older person be reading a novel for? I mean, you're old. That's for, like, I used to think, like, okay, teenagers. And so I had this conversation with one of my colleagues. I was like, you know what, I really miss reading a novel, like, fiction. I miss that. And he was telling me, but Nalu, why don't you just read it? I'm like, I don't know. I just feel like I would be wasting my time, you know, reading fiction when I could be reading, like, T.D. Jakes, you know, Napoleon Hill or whatever. You know, there's thought leaders, you know, something on leadership, entrepreneurship, self-development, you know, and stuff like that. But he was like, no, but it's your time, and you've invested a lot in all those areas. Why can't you just gift yourself with reading a novel? So I read a novel few months back, and starting this weekend I'm reading the other part, because the novel that my sister got it for me, I think maybe like 5 years ago, probably 6 years ago, but whatever. So I got it was a 2-in-1. So I read the first part earlier this year. I'm reading the other part starting this weekend. I want to read that part. I want to be happy reading that part. Read whatever it is that you can find. Just read. Develop a reading culture. So the way that you develop culture is to constantly do it. So at least read something. Start with an article, you know, just start with a page. If you have to read one book throughout the year, that's fine. Just read something. Read. The information is in literature. Read. Actually, like, these days, what I really love also are audiobooks. So there's this audiobook that I really, really love. It's my plug, you guys. Whenever, like, I just feel like I can't read, but I just need to get something in. It's called The Power of Concentration. So it's an audiobook. But of course, there's, like, the written book. But I love the audio version. So read, get some audio into you as well. YouTube is great, you guys, for personal development. Oh my gosh, let me not even miss saying that. It's wonderful, it's beautiful. We are on lesson 5, and I can see we're like in 22. Okay, so stop trying to help someone who doesn't want to be helped. Just don't. This again gets back to boundaries. I think I've been that person, really, who just oversteps, who's like over empathetic. I'm learning, you guys. This year has really been hard on me. It's just been a year of unlearning and unlearning habits, mindsets, you guys. It hurts. Oh gosh, it hurts so bad. Ooh, I read somewhere that actually healing can be more painful than the scar, like getting the scar itself. It's been hard. I think setting boundaries is such a hectic thing to do, especially in your adulthood. So I really want to get this started with my girls. Like, you know, when they grow older, I want us to be talking about boundaries. Somebody should have talked to me about boundaries. They're so hard to set. I'm the kind of person, I think I have overstepped a lot of people's boundaries, all in the name of being empathetic. And in the end, I've actually ended up getting burnt myself because I'm trying to help somebody who doesn't need help, somebody who's just going through something, and I couldn't respect the fact that they can actually handle that thing without me stepping my feet into their area. So, yes, just don't always be looking to save everybody. You can, first of all, you can save everybody, but also don't be trying to help somebody who doesn't need help. Just mind your own business. You won't die. Feel your sympathy, express it, but let it go. That's where I'm at right now. So, number six is consistency over perfection. Small decisions, small commitments. That's what we need. That's what I would advise you to go for. In the past, I was one person who would always be waiting for the fireworks. That's all I would settle for. That's a bad mindset to have. You know, it's a failed mentality, I think, for me. That's the way I can explain it. I would rather really I stayed consistent with something. Even in my reading, there were times that I would set unrealistic goals for myself. Like, okay, I'm going to read this book in like 2 weeks or 1 month. And it doesn't happen. And so I'm just like, you know what, whatever. I'm just going to do it, you know. Slowly but sure, but I'm going to do it. So consistency over perfection. And also, for my 20s, my theme for the 20s was go hard or go home. Like, literally. That's why I was like pushing and thrusting it. You know, I was just into it, pushing every day. But for my 30s, I'm going slow. Literally, I'm going slow. I'm going slow but sure. So I know what I want to do. I'm not in a rush to get it done, but I want to do it right. So consistency over perfection. Get started. Do whatever it is that you need to do and get on with the program. No perfection required. I was reading a book. What book was that? The title. I've read a lot of books. So in the book, anyway, the author was trying to mitigate this element of perfectionism. So like, a lot of perfectionists suffer from depression because they sometimes never get the results that they want, especially when there are other people involved in the task at hand. So they just never have it their way. So sometimes it can be very depressing. It impacts on their self-esteem and blah 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 blah. And so she was just trying to give some tips on how you can heal, you know, a personality that is attached to perfectionism. So she was actually saying, as you're starting off with a task, set yourself the barest minimum. And when you get to the barest minimum, feel satisfaction. Don't wait for satisfaction to come up with you. Tell yourself you have achieved. As long as it's the minimum, and don't go around looking for the perfect solution or the perfect standard. No. Be content with the barest minimum that you have set for yourself. Be consistent, achieve it, and get on with the program. So, number seven is give yourself truth. Give yourself truth is just it. You know, truth, I feel like truth is a gift that not many see as a gift. You can gift somebody with the truth. Truth is so important, but more especially for yourself, you know. Gift yourself with truth. If you're woken up on a day and you're not feeling okay, be honest with yourself, but also with anybody who cares to know, so that they can just know how to take you on that day. Like, if you're not having a good... I think I actually do that sometimes with my spouse. When I'm having like a terrible, terrible day and they're trying to be, you know, hectic and sweet and whatnot, I'm just like, you know, today I would advise you to like step around me with caution. I'm not having a very good day, so you might say something jokingly that might actually offend me and I might just blow up, and I don't want to do that. So just be careful how you handle me today. Literally,
even with my kids, I'm like that. If I'm having like one of those days where I just kind of need space and I need people to be really like careful handling me, I'm just open about it. With the people in my house, I'm like, I'm just open about it. Also, if you need something from people, be open. You know, I really hate this mentality of, you know, you should have known that I needed your support. No, Bobo, there's no way that I could have known. I'm not a mind reader. Besides, I got my own things to be dealing with. Why can't you just say you need help or you need support or you need something? You know, just be honest. Gift yourself with truth. Be open to the people that are around you. So, number 8, and I think I'm going to end this at 10. So, we're probably going to do this like 10, 10, and then 11. Otherwise, I'm going to be giving you like 1 hour long recordings. I don't know how I got to this, you guys. Whatever. So, number 8 is finish something. Anything worthwhile. In my 20s, I had the energy. So, I was just touching this, let it go. Touching this, letting go. Touching this, letting go. Touching this, like hot potatoes. You know, I'll touch this, drop it. Touch that, drop it. Like the entrepreneur, the literal entrepreneur disease of wanting to do, of wanting to do everything and anything that you can think of. In my 30s, I've told myself, I am finishing everything that 20-year-old self started without finishing. I am focusing on finishing that as long as it is worthwhile. So I am touching and I'm going slowly. In my 30s, I'm not even in a hurry. I want to finish. I want to do things well. So much that I hope that 40-year-old me can actually look back and smile at 30-year-old me and say, you made some bold move and I'm proud of you. Like the way I feel about my 20-year-old self. So just finish something, anything worthwhile. One of the things that I really wanted to do this year that I have not gotten to do because my kids spoiled my sewing machine. So, Ngosa and Minda, if you're listening to this, your dresses, I think about them all the time. I just don't have a machine. That's a perfect excuse. But I really wanted to get rid of all the sewing projects that are incomplete because I really wanted to just get it done. It's one of the things that is actually on my vision board, just getting done with all my sewing projects and just starting afresh. So this year I really wanted to finish that, but yeah, I couldn't. But majority of the things, of the other things that were just really hanging from my past and they are worthwhile, like I evaluate them and I think, okay, this is worthwhile, I'm finishing. I'm committed to that. So number 9 is always show up for yourself. Always. No matter how small or big, whether you're feeling weak or strong, show up for you. Show up for yourself. Even if you've decided you're going to stay in bed, be there with you. Don't lose yourself. Be there. Show up for you. You are the only constant person that you will ever have in your life. Show up for yourself. Whether you're feeling strong, whether you're feeling weak, whether you need a bustele, give it to yourself. Show up for you. You are important. I cannot stress this enough because I had to learn it the hard way. I am important. I think I had this thing of I can't say no to people. I can't be there for other people and be there for myself. So I either have to choose me or them, and choosing me felt selfish. Show up for yourself all the time. Be constant. Show up for you. The last one, prepare for the life you want to live. You know, there's this famous saying, you can take the person out of the ghetto, but you cannot get the ghetto out of the person. I think this is the underlying principle there. If you are trying to get out of the ghetto, and really I'm using ghetto, you know, not in the literal sense of ghetto, but, you know, ghetto as in a bad place, whether financially or mentally or emotionally. But if you are in the gutters, you know, in any area of your life and you're aspiring to be, you know, in a different position, like in a different space, prepare yourself to be in that space. Because there's nothing like being away from the gutters and then having the spirit or the mentality from the gutters haunt you. So it's the thing of you've accumulated wealth, but you still think like a poor person. So the wealth you have accumulated, because, you know, somehow maybe somebody gifted you or you've worked through it, but you have that imposter mentality. There are two conflicting mentalities in you. There's the rich person and then there's the poor person. And at each time they're at war. Let the rich person win. Let the rich person win. Let them prepare you for the place where you want to go. Let them prepare you for the place where you want to go. I always talk about, you know, these leadership roles that people are constantly saying, you know, vie for leadership. No, I want to be in leadership. Leadership is just not a position. Be prepared for the responsibility that comes with it. And nobody, I think, in the leadership sermons or the leadership this and that, everybody, especially I think in Zambia, this is just the thing of, no, we want more women and youth in leadership. Yes, we want to be in leadership as youths. Are you prepared for the responsibility that comes with being a leader? I'm not saying that youths are not incapable, you know, are not capable of leading, but are they just ready for the responsibility, you know, to be leaders, you know, to be role models with the demand on time, you know, of people looking up to you all the time? Are you ready for that? You know, the back stops with you. Are your shoulders broad enough, you know, to carry that weight? So it's things like that, really. So prepare for the life that you want to live. Prepare for it. Always, always prepare. Envision yourself there and do whatever it is that you need to do to actually live that life. So for example, I wanted to wear bum shorts this summer. I actually wanted to wear a two-piece bikini. Two-piece bikini is not going to happen, you guys. My tummy is just, I just hate like tummy fat, you guys. It's so stubborn. Stubborn in ways that I cannot even begin to explain over this podcast. But the good news is I am going to wear a bum short. So I traded off. So I said, okay, if I can't wear a two-piece bikini, then maybe what I can do is wear my costume, and then also I'm gonna show some leg. I mean, it is summer, so expect me to show some leg in one of these pictures. Stay tuned. Yes, you should see me smiling when I said I'm gonna be wearing a bum shirt in one of these pictures. Anyway, so prepare for the life that you want. So I have been doing a lot of exercises, a lot of, you know, dieting, staying away from junk food, drinking a lot of water, except it was really cold this year, so at some point I had to stop drinking water, but then I got back to drinking warm water, and now it's summer, it's getting hot, so I can drink a lot of water, and I can actually see my skin clearing up a bit. I've had an issue with my forehead, but prepare for the life that you want. Invest in the life that you want. Invest in it. It's just not, it's not going to fall in your laps. I know for some people, maybe it could come on a silver plate, but they're not free lunches. Somebody actually sacrificed, whether in their past, whether it's their great-grandfathers or great-grandmothers or whoever it is that sacrificed for them, somebody paid the bill. And for some of us, unfortunately, we have to pay the bill. We have to pay the bill. I keep on telling people, I want to get to a point where my name does something for my kids. When they know that they are my children, doors must open. Opportunities must follow them. That's the kind of success that I want. That is the ultimate success for me. That even when I'm long gone, when people talk about me, they smile. When people hear that, oh, this is her lineage. Ah, you people, we know that lady. Can you bring those kids? Let's help them. Child, what do you need? That's what I want. That's what I want. And I hope that is what a lot of people want. Anyway, so we're ending at 10 today. So next week I'm going to do, I think, 11 to 20. And then we're going to do 21 to 31 so that we can just, you know, balance it up and whatever. This is where we end today. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. I look forward to posting more lessons in next week's episode. Thank you very much for joining me, and do
do enjoy the week. Happy birthday to me once more, and I look forward to hosting you next week again.